BBC Oxford, Tuesday, October the 13th. It's your breakfast show and it's 9:31. We don't stop, do we? Jane Austen never seems to go out of fashion, does she? Pride and Prejudice, 10 million of us sat in front of the television to watch that. You might be watching Emma. That's recently been remade for the BBC. It's 2 weeks in. There's 2 weeks to go. It's good too, isn't it? But did you know she had many links, did Jane Austen, with Oxford? And Frank Underwood, the man in the hat, we call him, because he's wearing a great hat this morning. Hi, Frank.
Hello.
He's setting up an Oxford Jane Austen group. Frank, you look great in the hat, first off. Why is Jane Austen so popular still, do you think?
This is interesting. I don't think there's a simple answer to that. I mean, there is obviously this nostalgia thing for the past, you know, historical recreation and reenactment and stuff. I mean, interesting that I recently, a few weeks ago, was in Bath. They have a Jane Austen festival there every year in September. And they won the Guinness Book of Records for how many people could dress in Regency costume in the assembly rooms. And they counted, I think it was about 500, but I think there were about 1,000. People in costumes, wow. You know, in that city, which has great associations with Jane. And I actually asked two girls, they were in their teens, and I said, well, why do you like dressing in these? And they just said it had, you know, the costume had flair and elegance. And it, you know, they were just very disparaging about modern, you know, fashions and manners and all that kind of thing. But it's a much more complex thing than this. I think it's, you know, it goes so deep.
Yes. How did you get involved personally?
Well, I've always been interested in Jane's, you know, ever since my parents were great fans of Jane and also my sisters. And we watched the early BBC adaptations. And it, you know, what came through was the wit and of this woman, how she was actually lampooning the upper classes of the time. Yeah. But there were a lot of things that I was sort of curious about. I mean, I was very interested in the period, what is known as the Regency, because it was, you know, I studied history at university. It was a period of massive social change, which doesn't come through in a lot of her books. You know, the French Revolution, the American War of Independence, the Napoleonic Wars, and, of course, the Industrial Revolution.
Yes.
And issues on slavery. That's referred to in her books.
Yes.
But, you know, here was this woman who was not, you know, a sort of professional writer that is the most popular and probably, arguably, the best female writer of all time. Mm. I mean, you mentioned 10 million watching Pride, but it was probably Colin Firth that were watching.
Well, maybe it was.
You know.
And it was through your music as well that the bond strengthened, if you like.
Yes, I've always been, I mean, I come from a musical background. I played folk and blues, and I've always been interested in early music. I studied the lute and the harpsichord. Mm. And, you know, for years, my interest had been in sort of medieval and Renaissance, Baroque period. But when I studied the piano, a lot of the music of the time, and we think obviously of Mozart, Haydn and Beethoven, but these are the sort of top composers. But it's interesting that Jane Austen was an incredible musician.
Really?
In her house at Chawton in Hampshire, which is, I think, the manuscripts are going to be moved to Southampton University, there's manuscripts written in her own hand, copied, of pieces of the time. And the interesting thing is, mostly it's piano music, because so obviously she was a good pianist, but the standard varies from very simple country dance tunes to very complex sonatas by Haydn and people like Clementi and Sterkel and people like that a lot of people don't know about.
Yeah. And did she have a link to Oxford?
Yes, yes, she did. This is the interesting thing. Let me just say at this point, I was very surprised that there wasn't an Oxford Jane Austen society.
Yeah, me too, me too.
Okay, quickly the links.
Yes.
Well, first of all, her parents. Her father was a don at St John's College. He was known as the Handsome Proctor.
Was he really?
And he, yes, he studied for the church. Her mother came from near Henley-on-Thames. And she was related to the famous Theophilus Lee, Master of Balliol, who was apparently 106 or something when he died. And he was one of the oldest dons. And both her brothers came to Oxford. But the thing that is not mentioned a lot, and there's a lot of research which I'm involved in at the moment, was she was at school in Oxford. And strangely enough, the school, which was probably situated opposite Queen's in the High Street, was suddenly removed to Southampton. The headmistress was known as a Mrs. Corley, who was the widow of the principal of Brasenose. And I was at Brasenose, so I'm checking into that connection. Yeah. And for some reason, nobody knows, suddenly Jane and her sister Cassandra and friend were relocated to Southampton, where cholera outbreak nearly killed Jane.
Oh.
Then she came back and went to the Abbey School in Reading. That's well documented. But the Oxford school, and it's interesting that Jane's wit came to the fore when describing Oxford. She's talked about greasy kitchens and dusty libraries and dismal chapels. So, you know, of course, she visited her brother, who was at St. John's, obviously, at the time. So, you know, it's like you get this sort of early form of wit coming out, you know, these frusty, crusty dons and this strange city, which is very medieval still, because obviously the railways hadn't come. It was pre-Victorian.
Fascinating stuff. Now you're looking for like-minded folk to set up this Oxford Jane Austen group, and like you, I must admit, I was quite surprised that there wasn't one already. There is now, or at least there's one on the on the go.
Yes, indeed. What we want is just people of like mind, really, interested in Jane, her life and times. I mean, I've got in the poster to sort of visit the sites, you know, from Chawton to Bath to local ones to you know, everywhere, Lyme Regis even, where she spent a lot of her holidays. But also to have fun at the same time, you know, maybe dress up in Regency costume, perform country dances, and the music.
Yes.
You know, which is prolific. I mean, that's the next project for me, is to get this music sorted and find out exactly what it was. There was music for piano, guitar even.
Yeah.
And this thing of country dance, which is actually really known as contra dance, and it was domestic music. It wasn't professional music for the big names. This was what everybody did in their homes and at assemblies and so on and so forth. So we could reenact.
Wonderful. So people are listening now. How do they get in touch with you, and how do they become part of what is the new Oxford Jane Austen group?
OK, I'll give you a couple of phone numbers.
Yeah, please do.
Frank Underwood, and you can ring me at
home. This is him. This is Frank, yeah.
OK, Oxford, 01865 515295, or they can text and get me on my mobile on 077-924-27088. We have a website, okay, and it is http://www.janeaustinproject.org. And which is up and running. Okay. So any we've already had people from America and everywhere contacting us.
Good,
because
for you.
It's such a big thing.
Good for you.
You know, thousands of people are absolutely fascinated by this woman and everything to do with it. You know, this sort of age.
Yes. Well, look, we've got those numbers here. Harry's got them. So if you didn't get them, then give Harry a call and we'll give you the numbers. We'll give you the website address as well. And we'll follow this with interest. The Oxford Jane Austen Group, thanks to our Frank Underwood. He must come back one day and play me the lute.
Yes, that would be lovely. And hopefully also the forte piano.
Yes, please.
The small square piano, which was very popular in England in Jane's time. It just followed on from the harpsichord.
Wonderful.
As the instrument of choice in the home, the domestic instrument. And there was a lot of music written for this. I mean, we're not talking, obviously, Beethoven, Mozart, Haydn, but, you know, easier stuff. Stuff that was, like, you know, based on folk tunes and Scotch songs, this sort of thing.
Good stuff. Frank, lovely to meet you this morning. Good luck with it.
Thank you.
That's Frank Underwood. He's setting up the Oxford Jane Austen Group. If you want those details, if you want those numbers, Harry's got them out there. Get in touch. We'll follow Frank with interest. It's 20 to 10. It's BBC Oxford. Good morning. And our number, of course, is 08459 311 111.